We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
One of the powerful things that Jesus kind of gave us a picture of before he left to go to heaven was the picture of his church, his family, and what it would be like. And not only does he call us to have this thriving relationship with God, that is why Jesus came, so that we could come to know God personally. But that's not just an individual thing. As you see here today, we're gathered here together. Why? Because we all have that purpose. We all have that understanding and that knowledge and that experience of a relationship with God. Or if you don't have that or you don't know about that, we'd love to talk to you about that afterwards. Come and talk to us, and or come along to Alpha and we'll tell you what a relationship with God looks like. But in doing so, God has gathered this worldwide family together of hundreds of millions of people all around the world. You have millions of brothers and sisters. Isn't that a powerful thought today? And as together we are to represent Christ to the world around us. So what Jesus did is he said, look, I can't be on this world doing all the ministry forever, so I'm going to do it through my church. I'm going to distribute my gifts through my church. I'm going to distribute who I am, my compassion, my love, my grace, my truth, everything that's needed to bring the life of Christ to the world, I'm going to do through the church. And so the church began, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in Jerusalem 2,000 plus years ago, and it grew into this worldwide family. And as it grew and as it started very much with that commission that Jesus gave it to express his love to each other and to the world. And it started off really well. But it didn't take long. And I love this about the Bible. I like how the Bible is just so honest about our failings. Because there are people in the church, there were disagreements that started to happen. There were arguments that started to happen. It wasn't long before they had to sort of call meetings and go, okay, let's pray this through. Let's talk this through. We've got to work this out together. And I like how the Bible doesn't kind of paint it as a sort of rosy picture of, hey, you know, Jesus established this church and this church is an amazing thing. And all of that is true. God gave us an incredible vision for the church. But sometimes we don't live up to that. Actually, we've never lived up to it as a church. Why? Because we're human, right? We're not perfect. But we keep working our way towards that vision, that purpose that he has for us. And as we stay close to Christ and follow after his Spirit, he will lead us closer to what that vision for his church looks like. But we also make mistakes along the way. And so what we have in the book of Acts is a description of how that early church came into being and some of the journey that they went through in being established. And then some years later, so sort of in the first one or two generations, we get letters from church leaders back to the churches that are being established now all around the world going, hey guys, you're doing really well. Mostly they are encouraging letters. But you could look at this area, you know, you could kind of improve on this a wee bit. And what Paul, who's often writing these letters, is doing is calling the body of Christ, the church of God, those who are followers of Jesus, those who are in relationship with God, he's saying, hey, come back to the original purpose that Christ had for you. That's what these letters are all about. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 today, where we get a bit of a snapshot of Paul writing to a church that started off strong, started off really, really well, vibrant, passionate about following God and leading others into that relationship with God, but he got a little bit off track. And Paul's coming along and encouraging them again and saying, hey, come back to this vision. Come back to the heart of who you are, as we're singing today, who I am as a child of God, as part of his house. And as you do that, you'll rediscover not only God's purpose for the church, but God's purpose for you. And I think it's a great reminder for us today. So let's have a look at it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. We're going to start there. Just as a body, a physical body that we have, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of many parts. And we can see that here today. Like, we've come from various backgrounds, various cultures, various perspectives. But what unites us is our relationship with God. And we come together as one family under God. Is that right? That's who we are. That's what he's saying. Isn't this a wonderful work that God does, bringing us together like this? Now, if the foot, the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, most often, we interpret that passage in the terms of a local church. And that's a valid interpretation of the scripture. Here we are meeting this morning at St. Martin's C3. We are the body of Christ gathered together. And God intended you to be here, intended you to be a part of this body and bring what you have to bring to this body. And your thoughts, your experiences, the spiritual gifts on your life, the ministry contribution that you have. He wanted you here. He actually knew before the creation of the world that you would be here for this time. That's quite a spinny thought, isn't it? That blows my mind when I think about that. That God had worked all this out. And what Paul is saying to this church at Corinth is he's saying, look, stop fighting with each other and stop, having these arguments and things with each other, but see that you're one body. Now, you might all come from a little bit of a different perspective now and again and things like that, but work it out. This is important stuff. That you stay unified, that you stay as one body working together. Why? Because when a whole body is healthy and working together, it can function a lot better than when parts of it aren't working. Right? And that's the picture that Paul's giving here, and he's saying, hey, every part, do its part. It makes a difference. God very intentionally spread who he was around the church so that not one of us could express the whole of who God is. Is that right? Have a think about that. That we actually need each other to be the expression of Christ in our community. You can't do that alone. We have to do that together. So mostly we interpret this passage as this local church has all that God wants to bring, has a hand and a foot and an eye and an ear and all that, has everything that Christ needs to form a body. But the other interesting thing I see about this, and if you travel a bit around the world, I would suspect Fraser and others who see quite a bit about around the world and what God is doing around the world, is I see this on a global scale. I see that that we actually need to listen to the church in South Africa, or the church in France, or the church in Korea. Why? Because God has actually distributed his gifts right around his body around the world. And as we as Kiwis go into the church around the world, we actually bring something, we actually hold something, and it's really good to be aware of what we hold. Just on there, I haven't got it on my notes, but since we're there, years ago, Ginny and I went to Ghana on a mission trip for a few months, and one of the things that we quickly saw there is the lack of communication between churches. You could often go to a school in Ghana, and a church would rent out a classroom, but every third classroom, another church would rent it out, and they were literally on a Sunday morning competing against each other. You'd go into this classroom and it would be so loud because the church just had turned up their volume, so this church turns up. And you go into a preach in one church in one classroom and you go, have you talked to these guys? Oh, no, we don't talk to them. And you're like going, okay, this is just weird. You know, this is just so strange. Because as Kiwis, one of the things that I think God has given the church in New Zealand is we work together really well. I meet with the local pastors around the south side of Christchurch. We pray together. We strategize together. We think together how to reach our city. I think that's really cool. But that actually, I think that's just normal. But apparently it's not normal all around the world. You know, there are churches that don't agree with each other. So that's something that we bring as Kiwis. But you go to a prayer meeting in Korea and you just think, man, I better get saved. Like I'm not even saved yet, you know. Like, this is just at a whole nother level of prayer. We don't know how to pray in New Zealand compared to those guys. Do you see what I mean? Like every country, so to speak, God has placed gifts in the church to benefit the church. We need to listen to each other. You actually need to get around the world and listen to what God is doing. And fortunately, you can do that. You don't actually have to travel. You can YouTube it now and just listen to what God is doing. But here at a local level, look at that. Let's take that for a moment. Each person contributes what Paul is saying, what God has empowered them to do. And as they do that, it reveals Christ. That's why Paul says, you are the body of Christ. Because when the body is working together and being a body, it reveals Christ, right? So if we extrapolate that out, if you come to church with a word that God has given you or a gifting on your life to share and you don't share it, then Christ isn't revealed through you to the person that he has for you to minister to, right? But if you do, he does. Christ is revealed. God is the body to the world around them. No one of us has it all. We're all interdependent on each other, right? That's the picture that's given here. And the Corinthians were kind of working hard to do that. And so what God is desiring to do, and what we're looking at in the series of redefining ministry, is looking at how every member of his body, every member of his church, and that's you, that's me, needs to be as engaged in the ministry that God has called them to as possible. Okay? What does that look like for you? Well, that's for you and God to work out. But as we go through these weeks, we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail. It will connect with who you are. It will honor God. And it will bless others. Just as every part of your body is a blessing to you. Sometimes as you get a bit older, you do wonder about that. But every part of your body is a blessing to you, right? And every part of every person in his body is an expression of Christ and a blessing. That's God's vision. That's what God wants to do. Now, here's the big question I want you to ponder on this morning, is how could we as a church move closer to that vision? Now, I'm not saying that we're not there. We are there. There are people that share their giftings in this church, and we are blessed, and this church only functions because people share the gifts and minister to each other and minister beyond this church into the community. So I'm saying, great, God will be looking down upon us today and go, that's my body expressed. But like Paul was addressing to the Corinthian church, I think there is more that God has for us. Do you believe that? Nah, we'll try that again. There is more that God has for us, right? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, right. Okay, well, just checking. Now, if there is more that God has for us, if there is more of his gifts that he wants to pour out into your life, if there is more ministry that he wants to do among us as his children and through us to the community around us, then it's important for us to go, okay, what does that look like for 2020 for me? God, what are you doing in me? Identifying what it is that he's put in our lives, growing in what he has put in our lives, and then using what he has put in our lives to minister to others. And our ministry, to me, and we're going to have to define this over the next few weeks because I'm still trying to work it out. Ministry is essentially what we do for God, right? But not doing just something for God, but God doing something through us. Now, that can take a whole lot of different expressions and meaning, but there is primarily something that you hold that no one else holds. There is a way that God will minister his life through you, which is different to the person next to you. And that's okay. That's really cool. And our job as a church is to go, okay, how do we help you identify that? How do we help you grow in that? How do we help you use that? And so we're making a commitment as church leaders to you over the next few months that we want to help you and work with you in what that looks like, okay? We're not there so that you serve us. We're here to help you grow in your ministry and the calling that God has for your life. That's the image that Paul gives here. And we will stand accountable to that. Now, some of you already are kind of pushing. I know you're going, oh, okay, you're making me a bit nervous now. Are you going to make me do something I don't want to do? You know what? Where is all this going? I kind of have this ministry, but I'm just kind of keeping it on the down low, keeping it quiet, keeping it in the background. Can I remind you of something here? In 1 Corinthians 3, this is another way that Paul approaches this. He says, you'll be accountable for what God has given you. God's given you a ministry to share with others. Are you using that? And when you stand before God one day, as we all will, and hey, I know when I stand before God one day, I'll be going, oh, okay, let's see how this goes. Because I know that I probably could have used more of what he had given me over the years. But I want to stand before God one day and go, God, I made the best use I could with all that you gave me. Paul expresses it like this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. An important point that Paul is making here is that, hey, let's not just do a whole lot of activity that's just looks good. Let's actually do it, do Christ's work in our world. Let's do kingdom work. Okay, that's important. If anyone builds on the this foundation, in other words, working with Christ and the work of Christ and his kingdom in the world, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, capital D, judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. That's quite sobering, isn't it? If what has been built survives, in other words, it's honoring to Christ, the builder will receive a reward. You will be honored for that. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only one is escaping through the flames. I don't know about you, but that humbles me to know that the God who created me, the God who has a purpose for my life, is actually watching what I do with what he's given me. He's going, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that ability that I've given you? What are you going to do with these gifts? It actually matters to him. Very, very sobering thought. So what are you going to do with what he's given you? Have you gone to the trouble of identifying what it is that he has given you? Do you want to grow in that? Now, let me address some of you here, because I know there's a few different reactions to this. Some of you are going, oh, this is going to be a fantastic series. Bring it on. I always wanted to really clearly identify how God is working in my life, what he's gifted me to do, make sure that it's a right fit for me and how he's leading my life and serve the body of Christ in the world in that way. Right, I'm all in. Great. You're going to love this series. This is going to be all good. You're gonna really enjoy this. And you're gonna go, hey, let's explore some different ways to do ministry and let me grow in that and use that. This is gonna be great. But some of you I know are going, I'm not so sure. One reaction could be, hey, my life's full. Warren, I know this is God's vision for his church. I know that I'm a part of the church, but can't I just sit here and pay you to do it? And kind of cheer you on. And I'm going, yeah, that's cool. As we're sharing before, there is the work needs to be done to make a church happen. So yes, the way we do that in the Western world is, we pay some people to do certain jobs around the church. But that doesn't mean you get off the hook, okay? You can't pay your way out of God's vision for his church, okay? It just doesn't work like that. It's like every other part of the body going, oh, well, the head's pretty cool. Let's just pay the head to do all the work. It just doesn't work like that. And besides, that isn't you becoming all that God's called you to be. That's not the way it works. We're there, as we were saying before, the paid people are there to help you and empower you in the ministry that God has called you to do. And when you develop a vision for that, when you maybe make some small adjustments into the priorities of your life to build a ministry component into your life, it is incredibly rewarding. Sometimes incredibly challenging, but also incredibly rewarding. Why? Because it connects with who God has called you to be. And I want to give you, share for a few minutes, an example of that. Someone who came to me and shared an example this week. So Debbie, Jonty, can you give her a mic? Is going to come and share just a story of what she shared with me this week. Would be great.
So for the last year, I've been going once a month to George Manning Rest Home, and I've been running a church service. And about a year ago, when the need arose for someone to take the spot, I really didn't want to do it, but I felt like God was really prompting me that I could do it. And I felt like God was telling me that people in rest homes, they fit into the category of the least of these, and that God cares about them and that we need to not forget them. And so I've been doing this for a year, once a month, going out, running a service, and it's quite intimidating running a whole church service just on my own. I lead some hymns, I bring a mission report, either things that are happening locally or internationally. Bright Hope World is very helpful there. Mm-hmm. And then I do a 10-minute devotion. Sometimes we pray for people personally, and sometimes we do communion. And I have to say that it's not been super easy for me, and I've felt quite stressed about it. So last Tuesday I went in, and before I went in, I said to God, I said, I need some encouragement. I'm not sure how much longer I can keep doing this. And so at the end of the service, I just randomly, I hadn't planned it, I just said, does anybody want some prayer for anything? And there was a man who I had talked to before, and I identified him as someone who has been in church for his whole life, but I just sensed that he didn't really know the Lord. And it's a mix of people that come. There's those that you can just see Jesus shining out of them, and without even having a conversation. And then there's some that you think, not sure, and then you can't always tell, can you? But this man, he put his hand up and he said, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, and I'm not sure if heaven is real.
Wow.
And so I prayed for him, but at the end of the service, on his own, I had a conversation with him where I gave him the gospel, and I said to him, if you've done that, you are 100% going to heaven, and if you haven't, then you need to start praying and thinking and reading the Bible. And so for me, I just came away feeling like, well, that was so cool. Worth it.
Yeah.
That was worth it.
Yeah.
That this whole year was worth it for that moment, and I hope I'll have another opportunity to talk to him. But the other side of this is that I don't want to do it by myself anymore. And there are probably people here that you would think a whole service too much, but maybe you could be the person that turns the pages in the song books, or maybe you could, maybe if you're musical, you could play a song, maybe you could write a 10-minute devotion to present, or just pray for people. I would love anyone who is interested in participating once a month on a Tuesday morning to come talk to me. I'm on coffee, so come over to the coffee machine and let me know if you are interested. I'd really love some help, so thanks.
Cool. Thank you, Debbie. Isn't that cool? And Debbie is a busy person, and I know we are all busy, but when we integrate ministry into the various parts of our lives, God brings those rewards. God brings his kingdom in really dramatic and exciting ways. So let God work that on your heart if you're pushing back a little bit in that area. Here's another pushback that you might have, is you might be saying, Warren, whatever you do, don't make me do something I don't want to do. Now, can we reassure you of this? We don't want you to do something that isn't the right fit for you either, okay? Ministry is meant to line up with who you are and who God has called you to be. And but the biggest thing is probably the last one, and it's on your notes today, is the fear of getting it wrong or what other people will think of me. Like, what if I try something and everyone laughs at me or it just doesn't go well? I appreciate that that is there. And we need to do our best to give you ministry opportunities where you grow in that. You don't go from, you know, 0 to 10 in one hit. But there is, can I encourage you to take some risks? Because it's as you try some new things that suddenly you might say, well, I never knew I could do that really well, and God has actually gifted me to do that. I was like that. The fears that were in me as a young person, I was deeply concerned about what other people would think of me when I shared something or speak in front of people. So I'd never do it. If you'd asked me to, you're surprised by that now, I'm sure. But if someone had asked me to preach in my church when I was in Dunedin, as a young person, I'd like, no way, this is totally not me. But it wasn't until I was out on the mission field and I went, oh, well, that's okay, because no one else is ever going to know. I'm on the other side of the world, I'll give it a go. And then I realized, oh, God's actually gifted me to do this. So how do you know until you try? And is God bigger than your fear? He is, isn't he? And so why would you rob yourself of what God has for you if you're just listening to your fear? So allow God to overcome your fear and take you into the ministry that he has for you. And we're going to take communion in a moment, and actually Emma, I'll have you come up and cover keys, and I'll get the communion stewards to just come and take the cloth off and get ready for communion. And as we gather around the communion table today, I want you to this challenge to set in to your heart. And the first question as we begin this series is, Are you going to say yes to God taking you on the journey of revealing to you all he's created you to be and where he's created you to serve? Because Jesus came, died on a cross for us, set us free from our sin, not just so that we could be free of our sin, but that we could serve his purposes in our generation. Amen? Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are God's workmanship," or masterpiece might be, or there's various words depending on the translation. In other words, God is at work in us and shaping us and forming us. Why? So that through us he could do good works. So we're saved for a purpose. And there's more of that purpose that every one of us could step into and grow into. And that's the journey we're going on in the next few weeks. But are you going to recommit your life to that cause, to that purpose today? That's the call.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.